Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm with Army Major Joaquin Menno, one of the battle brothers of David Bellavia. If I can, take me back to those actions the night of November 10th, 2004. In your own words, what happened that night, specifically with David, and how he helped save the squad?
Yes, ma'am. I will say that we had already been operating on 24 hours, minimal sleep. The guys were extremely exhausted. Just constant house to house, battle to battle. So you had a lot of exhaustion going on amongst the guys. But the main thing that was always the driving factor was we all did it for each other. You know, when I looked to my left and right, I never second guessed any actions that my guys would do. When they looked at me, they didn't second guess the actions that we needed to do. So, you know, it was a bond that through all the adversity and all the hard times, we learned enough about each other to push on and to help motivate each other. There was definitely, you know, a lot of trying times. I'm not sure if that was the time frame when we were notified about our Command Sergeant Major Falkenberg that had got killed or if it was after that, but just continuing to push on through everything and knowing that David was in the place where he was at. And for me, being a junior lieutenant at the time, a junior officer, to come into an organization where, you know, these guys have been together since Kosovo, prior to Kosovo, they had been together training. I got to the unit right after all the training was done. So I was not, in a sense, trying to prove myself. I was just trying to find where I fit in and making sure that what I did for my soldiers was what they needed a leader to do for them. So, you know, as we pushed on through the houses, try to make the best decisions I could with what we had, we utilized a lot of support from the tank that was attached to us. And the funny story about the tank attached to us is the gunner was actually a cousin of mine from Guam, Sergeant Denny Tyron. So, he was attached to us. So anytime we needed any kind of tank support, he was right there on the spot. No issues, no questions. We caught up a Bradley fighting vehicle to pepper certain parts of the buildings. We caught up the tanks to shoot main rounds in the first floors of the buildings. And a lot of times, because the houses were booby-trapped, we actually, our tactic and our TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures, was to try not to go through the main door of a house unless we had no other option. Because a lot of times you'd enter and there would be booby traps. So fast forward, we're already getting ready to enter that 10th house. And at the time, you know, we're thinking, hey, we're going to go and clear it. And we have one more house or two more houses, and then we're good. We'll move on to the next objective. And then lo and behold, Sergeant Fitz's squad goes in, clears the first room. The next squad gets into the next room. And as I'm coming in towards where the main entrance is, all you start hearing is automatic fire. Sergeant Bellavia's voice, hey, cease fire, what's going on? And Specialist Oli is standing in the fatal funnel, what they call it, the doorway, not even budging, just standing there returning fire without hesitation. And then just chaos erupts. Rounds go everywhere. I grab my medic and my RTO, my radio operator, and I push him into like an exterior outhouse so they could get cover. I push him away from there. Rounds are flying all over the walls. One of our NCOs, Sergeant Hugh Hall, I believe he had a bullet graze his face. But all the chaos going on, and then to know that, you know, Sergeant Bellavia reached out and helped to get the rest of the guys to exfil. And then right when we pour into the courtyard, all of a sudden, now we're getting shot at from the rooftops. And because it's so dark and there's so much going on, we're like, well, which side? The rooftop up here? Is it this other place? You know, we end up calling up Sergeant Cantrell, my platoon sergeant, and they start peppering the building with 25-millimeter rounds while we're in between his vehicle and like a half wall outside trying to get cover. And then the next best thing was say, hey, let's go to that building right across the street, pull up a strong point and keep an oversight on the house. And then we'll consolidate, get accountability, and then head back in. And in the middle of all that, Captain Sims is not too far away at another objective with 1st Platoon and the scouts getting ready to drop a JDAM. Come to find out the first JDAM that drops is a dud. And so, you know, we're not too far away trying to get accountability. It's chaos going on. And all of a sudden, I have one of my soldiers run up and say, sir, Sergeant Bellavia is still in the house. And I'm thinking, I didn't even see that. I didn't even know that he went back into the house because there all this other stuff going on. So we end up going back, and right as we're getting ready to enter the courtyard, he comes walking out looking completely exhausted, scratched up, looked like he had just got into a brawl. And then the guys end up going and clearing and find out that, you know, they found all the dead insurgents, pulled them out. So I will tell you, the actions of Sergeant Bellavia that day are extremely, extremely grateful for what he did. Not just me, but the rest of the guys I know for a fact. I always felt inside that I didn't do enough for him and I didn't do enough for our guys. And that's something that I have to live with. But I will tell you that I'm extremely humbled by the type of camaraderie, the type of professionalism that each of my soldiers and my NCOs showed throughout our deployment. And I will tell you that it made me a better person in the long run. And I hold them to, ever since that experience with them, I hold every person I interact with, specifically military, to a very high standard. So if they can't match up to how I see those NCOs and soldiers and officers and leaders, you know, my whole idea of things kind of looks different because of the fact that I have such professional leadership. You know, Captain Walter, Captain Sims, Sergeant Bellavia, a lot of lieutenants, they try to go into an organization and run things the way they see fit. But I come from a family of veterans. My dad's a retired Chief Warrant Officer, too. My mom was a prior drill sergeant in the Army. So, you know, they really taught me to learn to humble myself, listen to my NCOs, try to figure out what I need to do. Where's my role? Where do I fit to make this organization a better organization? And I'll tell you that it was a blessing to have the soldiers from 3rd Platoon Alpha Company with me.
You're still serving today. Have you served in recent years with anyone like the platoon that we're talking about today?
It's really hard to compare. I will say I've served with a lot of professional NCOs and soldiers and leaders, but 2-2 just has a special place in my heart. I cannot say enough how much I've learned from them. You know, you may hear them say a couple, you know, good things about me, nice things, and it's truly appreciated. But I will tell you that I hold them so high. You know, some of them might look at me like, hey, he was my platoon leader, but I looked at all of them like they were my brothers. You know, I come from a family where I only have one older brother. And so to be able to know that throughout the deployment, I've gained more brothers, and I know that I could always turn to them anytime I want for the rest of my life.
Is it good to be here and just kind of hang out?
It's great to see all the guys. You know, after going through such an experience in Iraq during that time frame, there are parts of it that I don't mind talking about. You know, I like to, like all my guys' stories, the valor, the heroism. I love talking about all the things they've done because their story needs to live on and other people need to know. But there are parts of it that it kind of, it's like ripping a band-aid off again, you know. So when we talk about those people that were killed, it always chokes me up. You know, after further on along in my career, I was able to be stationed in Seoul, South Korea. And I was running one day and I looked at a placard at the football field at the high school there, Seoul American High School. And come to find out that they named the football field after Captain Sims. And I felt so bad because I had just PCS'd into Korea, and about two or three days earlier, they just dedicated the field to him. And here I was thinking, if I was just here a little bit earlier, I would have been able to take part in it and, you know, meet the family that came out and all that. But yeah, it's definitely a blessing to have these gentlemen in my life.
Major, thanks so much.
Thank you, man.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.